hard-headed addict named Earl.
Earl.
I don't know how my name got put in the hat, but it did. Why are we here for me? Has two focuses. You know, when I first came around, why I was here is totally different from why I'm here today. You know, I came to Narcotics Anonymous because my life was a total wreck. I was beat up, I was bloody, I was not just brimming over with trust and humility and all these other fine character qualities. I was scared to death, I was sick, I was desperate. And the book talks about in desperation when we sought out Narcotics Anonymous, and that's where I was. I had no other alternative. I had tried everything that you can think of to manage to live a quote-unquote normal life, and it wasn't happening. And I don't like to focus on so much, you know, the places I've been or the things that I've done, because we've all done them. But we've also all had the same feelings. You know, we've all shared the fear, the guilt, the loneliness, the shame, the humiliation, the desperation. We've shared all of those, abandonment. You know, we've all been there. We've all done that. And I wound up crawling through the doors of Narcotics Anonymous with absolutely not a clue that this was a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. I don't know how they do it here, but in Baltimore, you know, every meeting they do the readings at the beginning of every meeting, and it probably took me 2 to 2.5 months before I heard that one little line in there that, you know, this is a program of complete abstinence. I'm, oh my God. I was just hoping to be able to get it down to a manageable level. You know, if I could hold it down on an 8-ball, a couple pills, and maybe a 6-pack, I'd be okay. I had already figured out that the wife wasn't going to fix me, the job wasn't going to fix me, the police damn sure wasn't going to fix me, the nut house didn't want nothing to do with me. So this was my only shot. I was fortunate enough to be surrounded by a group of people who loved me regardless of whether I loved me or not, who believed in me when I could not believe in me, and who took the time to show me how this program works. And I ain't through yet by any means, so for those of you that are expecting some spiritual guru or Mr. N.A. to show up, you better go catch another meeting, because this ain't him. But all I wanted was just for the pain to quit. And I was desperate enough and I hurt bad enough that I was willing to do whatever it took. Didn't matter. If you told me I had to push a peanut down I-95 with my nose, I would do it. I did not care. You know, my ass had already fell off. I had done grabbed the wheelbarrow and was toting it behind me. My way was not working, you know. And I had to come to understand the difference between admitting and accepting. And I had admitted for years and years and years that I was a drug addict. You know, people have been telling me for 24, 25 years, you got a drug problem, boy. I know that, so what? I did not know that there was a solution. And I really didn't care for a long time. And I bought into this, the myth that drugs are my problem. And in reality, drugs are just a symptom of my problem. I suffer from the disease of addiction. And I don't know about the rest of y'all, but that's Earl's problem, is I suffer from the disease of addiction. You know, and I only had a few favorite drugs. Yours, all, any, and more. Those were my drugs of choice. You know, but also, I can look back now and I can also realize that I used other things as drugs. Sex, money, power, prestige, property, job. Those types of things were also drugs for me. And I can only speak for me, you know. But that's what brought me to the doors of Narcotics Anonymous, is I was totally desperate. Every way that I had tried to live a quote-unquote normal life had been a total, utter, dismal failure. I had no family, had no friends, had no job. Well, I take it back. I did have a job, but I was traveling with the carnival, so I didn't have a home. You know, there had been times in my life when the only reason that I could qualify as not being homeless is because I had a two-bedroom apartment. And the only reason I could say that is because it was a full-size four-door car. So, yeah, I've been there and I've done that. I've been to prisons. I've been to jails. The book says my only alternative is death, and I don't want to go there today. You know. Now, why am I still here? Here's a whole different picture. I'm still here partly because I haven't learned enough to where I feel like I can leave. And I hope I never do. But I'm still here because the only way that I get to stay here and live the life that I live today, which by some means may not be paradise, but by other means it is, the only way that I can live the life that I enjoy today is by staying clean and practicing some of the principles that I've been taught around this program. And notice that I said program, not fellowship. Because some of the principles that you'll learn in the fellowship are distinctly in contrast with the principles that you'll learn in the program. But if I practice some of those principles, I wind up being better able to live in my own skin, better able to get along with those around me, better able to relate to a God of my misunderstanding. I don't go robbing, lying, cheating, stealing, and whoring around all over town. Those were my problems in addition to drugs, you know. I mean, I got these other defects of character, too. Now, probably not alone, but I know that they apply to me. And that's why I'm still here, is to help work on those defects of character and to help carry the message to the addict who's still suffering from the disease of addiction. I'm fortunate enough right now that I don't have to work for a living. And it gives me a lot of time on my hands. Consequently, service work is an extremely large portion of my recovery. I'm involved in H&I. I do the hotline. I play in a taxi all over Baltimore most days. And that's a good thing because it keeps me busy. It keeps me involved. and gives me an opportunity to stay fresh and to stay green and to realize, you know, it ain't getting no damn better out there. You know, I came up from the 37th sub-basement of the cesspool I was living in to where I'm at today, not by anything that I've really done. I mean, I can't take the credit, because all I've done is take a few of the suggestions that have been shared to me around these rooms, you know, and applied them in my daily life. Number one, I had to put the dope down. If I don't put the dope down, all bets are off. Then I had to start doing things like quit lying, quit stealing, quit hung around, start accepting responsibility. If I say I'm going to be somewhere at such and such a time, I need to be there at that time. If I owe you money, I need to pay you. You know, simple little things like that. I need to read some form of NA literature on a daily basis. I need to contact at least one member of Narcotics Anonymous on a daily basis. I need to try and reach out and help another suffering addict on a daily basis. I need to pray to the God of my understanding on a daily basis. And my form of prayer probably differs from most people in here. But that's okay. I'm allowed to do that, and you're allowed to do that. But that's why I'm here, is because I don't want to go back out there. That's why I'm still here today. You know, I'm here to give the message of hope that there is another way of life, that it's not necessary for any addict anywhere to die from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary. One day at a time, my experience has shown me that it's possible to put the dope down and keep it down. It didn't happen all at once. It took a long time for me to believe that even though it worked for you, that it just might maybe barely possibly have a shot at working for me. It took a long time for me to get there. And when I came to believe that, then I became willing to do whatever it took. You know? And that's all I've done. I haven't found somebody with any whoopee dust or a magic pill to swallow. Everything that I've done has been shared with me by those who have gone before, you know, my sponsor and others in my support network. You know, if I have problems, I go to them. I say, look, you know, this is what's going on in my life. And they give me some possible solutions. And then it's up to me. I got to take the action. You know, everything that I know about Narcotics Anonymous is contained in that little blue book. If I choose not to read it, if I choose not to go to meetings, if I choose not to pray, then I'm making a choice to go back out there and use. And for me, that choice is death. You know. So, you know, why I came here and why I'm still here are the same, but yet they're different, because I have a different focus in my life now, and that's being able to share with somebody else the same thing that was freely given to me. It's not necessary that I die with a needle in my arm, you know. And the same holds true for any addict anywhere in the country. It's just not necessary, you know. And the reasons that I did the things that I did and went to places that I went are in part because of drugs. But really what they are is they're due to the behavior behind the drugs. You know, because I would do whatever I had to do to get what I had to have in order to try and feel all right. You know. And I believe that the disease of addiction is a disease of more, you know, because there was never enough. The only drug problem I ever had is that they didn't make enough. You know, they did not make enough to where I could feel okay with Earl. You know, I didn't want to feel okay with y'all. Hell, I didn't like you, so I definitely didn't want to feel okay with you. I just wanted enough to be able to sit home and feel all right with Earl, and they don't make enough for that. You know, the drugs quit working. And even after they quit working, I chased them religiously for years, trying to make them work. And the truth finally came home to me that I cannot get high enough to where I can feel all right with me. You know, I didn't care about your respect, but I had no respect for myself. I had no self-esteem, no self-worth. I was literally trying to die. With every shot that I did, I was hoping it was the last. And I couldn't get there either. So I'm in a catch-22 situation. You know, I can't die and I can't live with myself. What the hell else am I going to do? I wound up in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, today life is a lot better. You know, not that it's perfect by any means, but it's a lot better. And nobody ever guaranteed me that it was going to be perfect. Somebody actually lied to me and told me, oh, just don't use and go to meetings and it'll get better. And I'm here to tell you, that's horseshit. If you don't use and go to meetings and that's all you do, you're going to be a miserable SOB. And if you think I'm lying, the book backs it up. When it's talking about in the second step, it says, once we stop using, the pain of living without drugs will force us to seek a power greater than ourselves. So this ain't some original thought that came out of Earl's mouth. You know, I've experienced it firsthand, but other people have experienced it and they actually wrote it down in black and white. You know, so if all you do is go to meetings and don't use, God help you. My experience has shown me that that's not enough. It's not for me. Now, for some folks, that may work. For some folks, it may work for longer than other folks, but it didn't work worth a damn for me. You know, I had to get involved. And the kind of junkie that I am, I don't do anything halfway. I got to jump in with both feet head first. It's the only way I know to do anything is 100%. You know, consequently, I'm involved in H&I. I do the hotline. You know, I'm on the regional hotline committee. You know, I don't know how many people in Baltimore got my phone number, but whenever they need a ride, they manage to find it. And I don't care where I got to go to get them to a meeting, I'll get them to a meeting. And I don't say that to pat myself on the back. I'm not some hellacious motherfucker. You know, I just got a lot of time on my hands, and God's given me a truck and a paycheck. And he did it for a reason. And the reason is to where I can go out and help somebody else get to a meeting. And that's what I do. That's part of what I do. It's part of what keeps me semi-sane semi-rational and clean. You know, I'm not down in the hood coughing and hacking. You know, I could be. You know, I mentioned before the difference between acceptance and admitting. You know, and for years I admitted that I had a drug problem, which I did, but that wasn't the whole story. For me, the difference between admitting and accepting, you know, admitting, I can tell y'all I got a drug problem, but when I accept it is when I am willing to embrace it and become responsible for doing something about it. And I couldn't do that until I'd been around here for a while and some of the fog had lifted and I came to understand just exactly what's involved, you know. And I had to get over this trust issue, you know, because we as addicts, we all have these trust issues. And I can look at it now and I can wonder, you know, why is it that I came in here with a trust issue. And the truth is that nobody in Narcotics Anonymous has ever tried to get anything from me, which is a damn good thing because they didn't have anything to give. All they wanted to do was help me, or at the very least share what their experience has been and what they got out of it. And yet, by the same token, I'm willing to stand out there on the corner and hand some dude I don't know from Adam's House Cat $20 and trust that he's going to come back around the corner with what I'm supposed to bring, what he's supposed to bring. Now, how come I got a trust issue in Narcotics Anonymous? It's called fear. You know, because if I get to trust in you, then I got to let you in. I got to let you know a little about Earl, warts and all. You know, and as an addict, I don't like that. You know. But that's part of the growth process that I have to do if I expect to stay here. If I expect to do what the book says I can do, which is recover from the disease of addiction, that's what I have to do. I do have a choice, you know. I don't look at it today as, well, I can't go get high. Hell yes, I can. I have that choice today. And I'm not one of these folks that came into Narcotics Anonymous because I don't like dope. Hell, I love dope. I just got tired of paying the consequences. I'm not willing to pay the consequences today, so I make the choice today to live a different way of life. And I make the choice today to do whatever it takes for me to stay here. Some of the whatevers it takes, at least 5 meetings a week. I try and hit 7 or 8, but at least 5 meetings a week. Talk to my understanding of my higher power on a daily basis. I'm involved with my step work. I'm actively involved in service work. I have a sponsor. I work with my sponsor on a daily basis. Trust me, he'll tell you. I know all his phone numbers. I'll call him whenever, wherever, however I need to. Some people think I'm a little bit crazy. That's okay, I am. But I'm better today than I used to be. And I'm clean today. And I'm not out robbing. I'm not out stealing. The police ain't hunting for me. I don't have to constantly keep checking in the rearview mirror to see if Kmart's back there. You know, I don't worry about these things today. Life's a lot simpler today because, you know, I'm not getting up 9 o'clock in the morning wondering, how in the shit am I going to come up with $700-$800 today? It's not necessary. You know, because if I had to come up with $700 or $800, well, let's see, I got to get 20 off of you. I think you're good for 50, a dime spot for you. That's a lot of damn work. And I'm getting old. I don't feel like doing all that work anymore. You know, I struggled and I struggled and I struggled looking for the easier, softer way, and come to find out the easier, softer way is right here. You know, there's a saying around Narcotics Anonymous that says, keep coming back. I don't recommend it. Just stay. You know, if you're new to this fellowship, just don't freaking leave. If you don't leave, you never got to come back, you know. And if you don't pick up, then you never have to feel that way again, you know. And I've been there and I've done that. And I've never, you know, I've never had the luxury of going to a detox. You know, every time I kicked, it was in a jail cell. You know, and it ain't fun, and I don't look forward to doing that anymore. You know, life is so much better today strictly because of my association with Narcotics Anonymous. That's why I'm here today. Because it is better. And because it is better, I have an obligation as a member of Narcotics Anonymous to carry that message of hope, because that is our primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers that there is another better way of life than going out there chasing that dope on a daily basis. And I'll keep coming back. Thank you.
Doing that again, Pat. I would like to introduce the second speaker. Her name is Marlene.
Hi. My name is Marlene, and I want to start out with a moment of silence. The addict that's picking up at this very moment, not knowing what the hell he's getting into. Now I don't want each and every one of you to give yourselves a round of applause for knowing what the hell you got into. God is good. I'm from New York City, the Bronx. You know, all right, another New Yorker. I think we're all from a part of New York, because New York is a city that never sleeps. You know what I mean? There's a 24 high with a 24 addiction. And being in NA is definitely a 24-hour job, because addiction has no means, no ends, and no barriers. That's why I'm here. I'm here because this is my job today. To stay clean, to learn to live life on life's terms. You know how it starts out with jails, institutions, and death? I've done the jail. I've done the institution. God knows I don't want to do the death. Because I want to live today. You know. I was married at 16. And I was abused for 20 years of that marriage. You know. Started out a shotgun wedding. You know, that first love and wasn't love, it was lust. and here's the baby, and here's mama with the shotgun. You're going to marry my daughter. After that came the addiction and the abuse. Alcohol to me wasn't a drug. It was sociable, you know. And every now and then I was able to come out and be sociable, you know. And at the end of that sociability, you know, lifestyle, came the black eyes, the beatings, and the abuse to where I couldn't go anywhere because I had to carry a shopping bag of sunglasses. You know, would this look good today with this eye or that eye? You know, after that came his death. You know, and after he died, came the rebel. Okay, he's dead. I'm alive. I can do this now. And someone who I thought was a friend introduced me to crack. And I thought crack had became my man, my friend, my parents, my children, because my mother had my kid. You know, I never was a mother to my son. I'm here today to learn to be a mother to myself as well as my son. You know, because having a kid and being a mother is two different things. You know, I had the kid, but I'll be damned if I was the mother. I was too busy trying to find out what drugs was all about. And I just loved smoking crack, even though I didn't know what the hell I was doing. How come she's smoking? How come she gets smoke and I don't? Today I know how come she got smoke and I don't. Today I don't give a damn how she got smoke and I don't. Because today I can live. I don't have to worry about where my next hit is coming from or how I'm going to get it. Or what I got to do to get it. And being a woman wasn't easy. Because the only time a man offered me a hit was because he expected me to drop to my knees at the end of that pull. Because the first one was free. First one was definitely free. How many times you had to sucker up to a man you couldn't stand because he had the drugs? I'm so grateful that it's women sitting up in here. And I'm grateful that you men are here too, because I know some of y'all had to do what you didn't want to do to get the next one as well. When it came down to it, it didn't matter. Well, I'm definitely standing here to let you know. I have 17 months and one day today. And I am grateful. I am so grateful because I know for a fact I don't have to like you, love you. I don't even have to speak to you. Because you have nothing I want if you don't have nothing from NA to give me. And in NA, there's a lot to get. I have seen so many joys of being able to wake up in the morning, say, damn, I still got a TV. And this is my apartment, and there's no one sitting in my living room talking about what you want. How many you need? Can I come in? What do you mean this ain't my place? You know? What do you mean, what do I want? You know? This is my apartment. I want you to get the hell out. Well, you still owe. What do you mean I owe? You mean my debt ain't paid yet? When do you get out of debt? It's definitely not after you take the first one. All right, you can stay a little longer. Can I get two more? All right, you can stay a little longer. Can I get two more? Before you know it, I now smoke this old package, and he now owns my apartment. And everything in it, I sold to him. Don't touch the TV. What do you mean, don't touch the TV? That's my television. You sold it for one half of a nickel. What do you mean, half a nickel? I sold a $200 TV for half a nickel. I sold my apartment for less than that. I sold my soul for less than that. When I went to prison, I wanted to argue with the judge. How dare you arrest me? What do you mean I'm going to jail? So what? He was smoking too. But where I come from, you're going to jail regardless of who you're with, who you know, or how much you smoke. Because I wanted to argue the fact that they get higher than I do, and it's not fair that I got to do that much time. But I know today it didn't matter. When I got to Bedford Hills, after fighting for a year of my freedom without telling on the person that really this crime belonged to, I was just along for the ride, of course. I'm in big time denial. It's not my fault. You know what I'm saying? But officer, let me explain. The insanity and the thought that I'm not going to get high, oh my God, that was my only problem. I didn't give a damn about the time. I was worried about getting high. You mean I'm going to jail? Stop playing. I'm here because I don't want to go to jail today. I know Bedford Hills still got a bed with my name on it. Think they don't? I'm just a number to them. They don't care where you come from, what you used, or who you know. You are now here, and you are their property, and you are a number, not a name. And if I can lower myself to putting up with what I did to get the next hit, I know I can lower myself to come in these rooms and sit my ass down and shut up and listen to learn. And to learn to live on life's terms. I thank God for welfare. Because when I came home, my mother was like, you can come back here. Oh, no, you don't. That's what got me out the last time I came back there. And I got sick and tired of hearing you tell me how much of an asshole I was. And I'm never going to amount to shit. And let's keep it real, ladies. How many of you moms told you you ain't shit? You're never going to be shit. Did you learn to believe that? So when a man told you you wasn't shit and went upside your head, it was okay. Because mama said that already. Today I know I'm somebody. I know I'm a recovering addict. And I know I can do whatever I want to do as long as I stay in these rooms. As long as I stay here, I can achieve the most unbelievable dream that you can ever imagine. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, hell, I'm Halle Berry. You know what I'm saying? Stop playing. You know what I mean? But as long as I keep thinking that I can go back out there and just one more. That's the reason that I say to myself, that's why I'm here. Because my disease keeps telling me I can do one more. Just one more. Go ahead. No one will know. I even fantasize about how it'd be like to take a hit and then do my mate. Oh, yeah. Y'all know that dream. Oh, yeah. That's the best one. The ultimate. Bullshit. The ultimate is to be able to do your mate. And know that the natural high is the natural orgasm. To be able to get up in the morning and pick out what you want to wear and not what you got to wear because you ain't got nothing else to wear because you just sold those pair of pants. You know what I'm saying? There were times where I believed that I had on 3 pair of pants and I still look good. Not me. My name is Foxy. That's my middle name. I dare use it today. Dare use it. When someone calls me Foxy, I either owe them money or they know what I did to do the next one. You know what I'm saying? So I go by my first name, which is Marilyn. Because Marilyn is the lady I really am. The lady I know I can be. The reason why I'm here. To learn to be a lady, to learn to be a woman, to learn to be a mother to my next child. To know that I don't have to say, all right, Ma, you can raise this one. Because I'm going out here and I'll be back. And I'll never make it back. To know that I don't have to go sleep in that abandoned car. Because I'm afraid that the next one's going to come and I ain't going to get none. I got a stiff. So that y'all know that it ain't worth it. It just ain't worth it. It ain't worth giving up your soul for that next one. For that needle, that pill, that crack, that bag. Or that trick that promised you $100. And gave you 5 after you were finished. And told you he'd be right back. You know how many times I was told I'd be right back? Stop playing. My best bet was to try to sell drugs than to sell me, because I always got beaten. At least I knew if, like you said, if I gave you my money, what was the chance that you were coming back? It wasn't none. So what's the chance of me coming up in here and knowing that I can accomplish something and I ain't got to give you nothing? But the presence of me being here. Just be here to receive the joys. I got a sponsor because I started out this program on parole. Having to be here. Coming out of jail knowing that when I got that $40, I was headed to the first crack house in town. I wouldn't care where it was. Let me get four. What do you mean they went up? I've been gone that long? You know? For real. I had a desire to come home out of anger to get high because I was dealt an injustice. How dare you put me in jail for smoking crack when they're still smoking and I'm the one in jail? He's selling it and I can't say shit. That in God we trust? I just none of y'all. No, but especially the judge. Oh, God, I'm going to... They wanted to give me a 49. Stop playing. I didn't kill nobody. What do you mean 10 to 15? What? I'm here because I don't want to go back. I don't want to live like that today. I want to be able to walk down that block and have somebody else look at me and my man do like this. I don't want to walk down the block and he tell me to go ahead. Walk ahead of me. You know what I'm saying? I'm wearing three pair of pants thinking I look good. I don't want to have to tell my mother, Ma, I've been arrested. And her tell me, don't call me no more, click. I don't want to have somebody say, oh, she a crackhead. No, I'm not a crackhead. I'm not even a crack addict. I am a recovering addict with a disease called addiction. And as long as I keep that up front, and the fact that I know Beffer got a bed with my name on it, I don't have to worry about being in these rooms because of parole. Because I came here because of parole. Wasn't no 90 minutes in 90 days. It was go straight from prison to the parole officer to a meeting and bring back this paper with signatures on it. The embarrassment was, will you sign this for me? Oh, sure. But see, when I seen the pile in the basket like this, and they were all parole papers that needed a signature, the embarrassment went away. When I seen that somebody else raised their hand and said, I sold my TV in my apartment, the shame went away. When I seen somebody else raise their hand and said, I sat in that crack house with three pair of pants on and swore I looked good, the pride came back. Because I know I can be proud to be in this room and dump my dirty laundry and don't have to worry about wearing it when I walk out the door. I can leave it right there for y'all to sort through or to help me with. Whichever you choose to do, it's on you. Because now there's a little bit of this burden gone and a little bit of this burden gone. And the fact that I don't have to ride off of nobody else's recovery is even more of a challenge to me. Because I know that this recovery is a challenge. And it's one that I'm not going to fail at like I failed at everything else. How dare you have the nerve to say your father was a night manager of Conest and your mother worked for the Board of Education, but you don't have a high school diploma. Where's the madness in that? Where's the sickness in it? It comes with addiction. Because when it comes to drugs, all bets is off. All bets is I wouldn't care what time it was. I wouldn't even go to sleep. Not me. You're not going to smoke that crack without me. If I didn't pass up, I didn't go to sleep. I got in these rooms because my mate was in them. And I came home to my childhood sweetheart. Ran into him and said, yeah, God got a plan for me. All right. I'm going to keep that little $40 and see what happens. So far, that $40 has accomplished until... the wealth, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a millionaire today. Because I'm clean, I'm healthy, and I'm in love with me. I'm in love with me. So my mate to tell me, I'm not telling you what's going on at the meeting. Go find out yourself. Make a meeting. You got the book. You took me to my first meeting, and I seen so many people in there that I knew from my past. That I knew I was in the right place. For him to tell me, here's a basic text. Read it. Stop asking me what's step one all about, this, that, and other. Especially since I did KSAC in prison, and I did it because I had to. And I did it with an attitude. I wasn't open for nothing. Yeah, all right, whatever. That was my story. Yeah, all right, whatever. Came down to Sharon. Hi, my name is Marlene. That's it. I pass. And with that, I'm clear. The next person would speak. I wasn't opening up to nothing. I didn't play nothing but my bunk. They call me above the mess hall because I wasn't going there to eat either. I just didn't want to have no parts of N.A. or anyone in it due to the fact I was dealt an injustice. But what I keep forgetting is that I was the dealer at that table. That was my card game. I played them cards. And I knew I was losing. And now you say, just one more. Just one more. Just one more hand. I played to where the judge played me out. Because he sure enough told me if he see me in this courtroom again, for whatever reason, not to mention I had two records, one under my marriage name and one under my name. You can bet I was trying to clear that marriage name. No, that's not me. No, I'm not under that name anymore. Due to the fact that my husband's record was as big as, come on, it looked like a dictionary. And I want a part to that. This is my trouble right here, and I'm not dealing with that trouble. I want to use this name. It didn't matter what name I used. I was a fucking crackhead. Bottom line. And they was tired of me. Because, how do you get arrested twice in your life and both times you do state bids? Come on, where's the break here? How come I don't get a skip bid? How come I don't get Rappers Island? I even used my religion, changed it to a Muslim so I wouldn't have to go to court. I ain't going to court. Yeah, well, you guys go to the bullpen. I ain't going to the bullpen. I'm a Muslim. We don't have to go to court on Fridays. It's my day to pray. You know what I'm saying? I prayed all right. Believe me, I prayed. I prayed that he would drop his case and let me go. They got all kinds of quits. That's when you get the real medicine in jail. Go to jail. Pack of cigarettes get you anything you want. Anything. But I was too stingy because I was smoking cigarettes and coffee. Stop playing. What? I don't need a hit. I need to get out of here. Reality check. I need to get with myself. What I got with myself is when they dropped for the year that I did on Rikers Island and told me in court, sentence, bow. What do you mean it can't run concurrent? I did a year for nothing? That time don't even count? Okay, well, where am I going now? Bedford. All right, I went there before. I only stayed there a week, and then I was upstate and home. Didn't go like that this time. Wasn't no, I'll be there a week. I was stuck in Bedford trying to figure out where I'm going. Where should we put her? I'm sitting there with somebody that's got 15 to life, and they talking about, what's up, baby? What's up, baby? Oh, no. Okay. I want to go home now. I'm guilty. Can you help me get out of here? You said, hold on. Stop playing. Which was the women and which was the men? Who knew? Which one of us really knew which was which? I damn sure didn't, so I played my bunk like a punk. All that hard rock from the streets? Whatever you ask. Yeah, okay. Whatever. So I stayed in my room and out of the eye. When it came around to you want a hit, I got some dope this week on a visit. Want some? I got a real glass stem loaded too. Want to pull? That's when the fear settled in. Because now I know I take a pull of that. And I know what I did for a pull of that on the street. Oh, my God, never that. I just couldn't go down like that. That's when I gave up. When I got upstate, and they told me I had to do a drug program, when I got up in that drug program, I was like, oh, come on, this is ridiculous. You know, we have people from the outside coming. I didn't want to hear that shit. Just let me go home now. Because all along, reservations was number one in my book. I was going home to get high. That's why I'm here today. Because now I got reservations to live. I am home. I got 14 months of parole left out of strict supervision. Strict supervision. That I just don't want to live like that no more. I don't want nobody to tell me it's lock-in time. I don't want nobody to turn the lights out on me. Tell me to shut the fuck up. And me and Cleveland have to accept it knowing that he ain't giving me a crack behind it. I don't want to live like that no more. I don't want to have my 12-year-old daughter visit me in jail and my son act like he don't even know me. I don't want my mother to get mad at me and call me a crackhead and be on point when she say it. But see, when she call me a crackhead today, I can look at her and say, whatever. But see, you'll always see me as a crackhead when you're mad at me. When you're mad at me, I ain't shit. I'm a fucking crackhead. I'm an ass. I'm the same one that stole your money and helped you look for it. You know, let's keep it real. Yeah, I'm off. You sure you put it there? Can't wait for her to sit down so I can go out the back door. To have her tell me don't come back here no more. And then send somebody out there to find out if I'm still alive. Tell me to come home. Not to mention I was out there pregnant with my daughter. What saves her from being addicted is that I took sick. I couldn't, for some reason, every time I took a hit, I was sick as a dog. And I ended up in the hospital. I went to the hospital March 30th. I didn't give birth to my daughter until June 19th. By the grace of God, my system was clean and so was hers. But see, I was homeless because my mother told me I couldn't come back there. And I had an apartment and lost it. Lost it. Every apartment I had, I had five apartments and five different months. Each one paid by somebody else's sugar daddy because he wasn't my man. I didn't even know him. But I told him I loved him. Can I get $50 now? Yeah, I love you too. You know, I'll be right back. Ain't seen him for 2 or 3 days. So he ain't paid the rent no more. Not to mention I sold it to the crack dealer. Eviction notices left and right. Okay, I'll be in court. Now it's time to leave. I didn't have to take no luggage because I sold everything. To where your mama got to take your baby home from the hospital. Never gave her rights, custody, or anything else. But she didn't even tell me when to come to court. That's why I'm here. Because I refuse to give up my child. And I'm trying real hard to have another one. Not to mention going through a storm, I got rid of one out of spite. Out of real downright spite. I knew I couldn't get high. And I knew he didn't give a fuck about me. This is everything I knew because my disease told me so. I hung up on my sponsor and told her, I'll call you back, I'm going to get some cigarettes. I ran around looking for crack. And God just refused to let me find it. Living in the Bronx, where crack was on every other corner outside of my block. And I looked, and I looked. And the person I knew smoked wasn't even home. So I had to go back upstairs and call my sponsor back. She was like, you finished? You know, did you find what you were looking for? No, God damn it, I didn't. Oops. Yeah, I went to the store. I went to the store because I knew the crack dealers were in front of the store. Shit. But why would I want to buy crack? Nobody's around. You know what I'm saying? What's the problem here? God just wasn't ready for me to pick it up. So out of spite, I had an abortion. And right now in the day, it haunts me. Because the girl upstairs had her baby and wants me to take care of it. Watch it while she goes to work. And in my heart, I want to. But in my mind, I can't take it right now. That's why I'm here. To know that I don't have to do things out of spite anymore. I just have to accept them and let God handle it. I prayed and prayed and prayed for him to come back to me. But I got mad because I got tired of questioning God, well, why he ain't here yet? What do you mean, where is he? You know, when he called me, I want to cuss him out. I changed my number the next day and gave it back to him. You know what I'm saying? Stop the madness. That's why I'm here, to learn how to deal with things on without reaching for the drug. Because once I got high, all bets is off again. Because I know me. I don't know about the next addict, but I know me. Just give me two and take this. Just give me one and take this. I've been sitting here with just a mattress. He tried to sell that too. You know what I'm saying? I came to reality. And I mean, I came to reality. Because reality wasn't coming to me. I had to come to reality and say, Marlene, you ain't gotta live like that. Look at what you did out of spite and look at how you feel now. Imagine if you'd went and smoked and then did it. Oh, boy. Here we go again. You're still a crackhead. Looking for a crackhead move. Doing a crackhead situation. Instead of riding the storm out like I was told. Strap in, because you're in for the ride of your life. This has definitely been a journey for me. It's been 17 months of being clean. Because in jail, I could have got high. I didn't get high out of fear. Fear that they would snatch my work release. Fear that they would pull my urine out of random. I'm a sleepwalker. Believe it or not, I really walk in my sleep. Eyes wide open. Gone. You know what I'm saying? That kept me free in jail. That kept the officers off my back. They were afraid of me. Nobody wants to be responsible for a sleepwalker. Because if I get hurt, oh my God, lawsuit. Stop playing. I want your house, your car, and I think I'll take the kids. You got child support coming? That's how I'm living. So I face reality that I'm a diabetic, I'm a sleepwalker, and I'm a fucking addict. And the only way I know how to live is through manipulation. Before the manipulation and before the addiction came Marlene. And now Marlene wants to come back. Today I just want to be Marlene. Caring, kind, and considerate. Same little girl that didn't get to grow up wants to grow up now. I still want to play. Please, my mate is a bigger kid than I am, so I have a ball. He hides from me and I find him. Come on, I have a ball in my house. You know what I'm saying? I can live today and know that I ain't got to get high to have fun. Because when I got high, I ain't have fun. I fell asleep and woke up without my shoestrings. What more can you steal from me? I fell asleep and woke up without my sim, once again. I fell asleep and woke up without my jacket. And that was all I had on. So now I'm laying there with no shirt, no jacket, no bra. How dare you rob me in my sleep? I refuse to be robbed in my sleep or while my eyes is open. Because now I know the only one that can rob me is me. Because if I put myself in that predicament, then that's where I belong, in that predicament. I choose to be here today. I choose to give the message. I choose to let you newcomers, as well as you oldcomers, know, ain't a damn thing changed. The drugs got smaller. The dope got weaker. And believe me, the prices have gone up. Today you cannot get two dimes for a television. You cannot. I mean, I told my sponsor, because this was a real surprise to me. This is my first retreat. And I was coming to support somebody else. And they backed out because they had to work. And they threw it in there real quick. Oh, you know you're sharing, right? What do you mean I'm sharing? I can't share. I don't know how. You know, I've never done this. I don't have enough time. Here goes the addict in me, looking for excuses not to be able to show up. Because I never showed up for anything else. You know, I never showed up for nothing. If I wasn't sober, I wasn't showing up. 9 times out of 10, I wasn't sober. For a good 4 years of my life, I drugged. Today I'm not drugging. Today I'm showing up to where I'm tired. I'm so tired, and I'm like, yeah, we gotta go. But I'm tired. But you know what? Can't beat the days I was tired out there. Could never beat the day I was tired out there. Because, I mean, sleep wasn't an option. If I didn't pass out, I didn't do it. I'm here. And I ask myself, why? For all the right reasons in the world. For all the reasons in the world. Number one is to live. I just want to live. I want to be joyous, happy, and free today. Free of addiction, free of incarceration, and free of the fact of having one say to me, you ain't nothing but a fucking crackhead. Get off my block. Get out my fucking line. Stand over there and shut the fuck up. No singles, no change. Go in the store and sell anything just so I can get $2 more to get that next hit. Or I have to be propositioned or proposition someone else for that next hit. To set you up with a date so I can get high too. Because you don't want me because I don't look like shit. To know that I can get a cat today and don't have to sit in a crack house with him because I don't want him to starve while I'm getting high. Because I know I'm not going back home. To know that my nephew can say to me, really, don't go back. Because I ain't got nobody to take me nowhere in the summertime. To know that the kids today look up to me and that you'll trust me with your kid today. Because you know I'm not going to take him to the crack house with me. Tell him, stand right here. I'll be right back. To know that other people in my life care about me just because of who I am and not what I got. Because I ain't got shit. I mean, for real, for real. When my mate says to me, damn, we broke, I say it's okay. Because we got the basic tools for survival. We got a roof, we got food, and we got each other. And those are the basic tools today in my life that keeps me alive and keeps me clean. Because if I pick up, I ain't got that roof. I'd be damned if I got food. Food stamps are out. What? Please. Would you like to buy this? And to know that I got a mate that want me, not because I can go out there and get a hit for us. Not to pimp me or me pimp him. Or have him tell me, I'll be right back while he goes smoke with the next bitch that got a hit. So now I'm going to sell some ass so he can get high with me. Because he's my man. To know that I can have a baby today and don't have to say, well, Mom, would you take her? I'll be right back. Nah. It ain't worth it. The things I've lost and the things I've gained keep me here today. Thank you for letting me share.
I would like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Could we please have the reading of just for today?
My name's Frank. I'm an addict. Just for today. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Thank you. We have a nice way, form a circle and have a nice way of closing this meeting.
Thank you.
I'll see you in the parking lot.